Welcome to the Riley
and Liv Show. This week's episode is sponsored by Pedialyte and McDonald's.
Woo! So this week's episode is focusing on science, mainly science within the elementary education, and we were able to have the opportunity to go to JCPS schools and interview third grade students about the knowledge they have when it comes to science. Science is really important when we're looking at elementary ed as it builds a background. Many students in third grade aren't really taught science due to the fact that it's not tested in the third grade. We want to build this background and see what kind of knowledge the students know in order to make further instruction. Because it's really important that students are learning how to solve problems and make informed decisions within the science community.
Like Riley mentioned, the purpose of this assignment was to uncover and recognize students' thinking and knowledge and in order to plan future instruction. So we wanted to interview students on animal traits and seeing whether or not they know why animals have certain traits and for what purpose. So we provided our students with pictures of various animals, asking why they look the way they do, why they have certain
physical characteristics.
Yes, physical characteristics and traits, and seeing whether or not students know why animals have adapted to that lifestyle in that environment.
In doing this, we really looked at chameleons, porcupines, and those two things. We were able to show these third grade students the pictures of these animals, and with their background knowledge, they were able to tell us whether or not they knew why, like the traits that chameleons had or the traits that porcupines had in order to help them survive and be like protected from themselves.
Because even if they have different physical traits, they still are adapted for the same purpose, overall protection. And most of the students understood that premises.
Yeah. So in conducting these interviews, it was more of a conversation with our students in order to let them elaborate on their thinking and even like at points question their thinking in order to get that deeper thinking. But we took these children's ideas very, very seriously, as what they know now is going to build on what they're going to know in the future.
So we really focused on adaptation, lifestyles, animal traits. We just really wanted to see where they were at currently and where we could take it.
So each of us picked two students. We're in two different schools. So two different schools, two different students, all in third grade classroom. Mm-hmm. The two students I chose on kind of their level of engagement and their level of like where they are in different context areas. So my first student, the young boy, he's actually undergoing screening right now for autism. He's very outgoing, very bright. He just lacks the capacity to like stay on task. So I felt this would be really good to pick his brain to see where he kind of went with the different questions I had. And then the second child I chose was a young girl, and she is actually gifted in reading and math. So I wanted to see, kind of compare her thinking compared to the young boys to see how their background knowledge kind of compares and contrasts.
Going into my placement, I wanted to pick a boy and a girl. And so the first student I picked was a girl, and she is at benchmark for all of the content areas. And I think of her as an average third grade student. So I selected her to see where a majority of the classroom probably is all thinking. And then my second student I picked was a boy. And he is above average, I would say. He might be a little bit under gifted. He's very smart, and I wanted to pick his brain about this, see what he understood and what he doesn't. And this student thinks outside of the box a lot. He's a very outgoing, and I thought he would provide a lot of good answers.
Liv and I had conversations when picking our students in order to be able to get the variations of student in order to kind of cover the third grade mind.
Yeah, we wanted to cover as many as... How do I say that? We wanted to cover as much third grade ground as we possibly could. So we wanted a variety of different students.
And I think, we did well with this, just as from the answers we got and, like, comparing how our students responded. I think these students, they did an amazing job. They were very insightful and fun to talk with.
They were very fun.
So getting into our actual interviews, we started by talking about animal traits. We began by asking them what a trait was, and then we went to, like, human traits because we felt like this was our way to be able to make those connections.
Before even giving the students the interview, we just wanted to make sure they had a somewhat of a understanding about what it would be based on.
Let them know that what's pretty much going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And then so we talked about how animals are different, mainly talking about does every animal share the same animal traits. My students even got to the point of talking how every animal is, like, different shapes, sizes, colors.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it was really cool, their insight on, because we were just talking about animal traits, and they're like, well, some cats have big eyes, and it's like, it just became, like, this huge thing. They were really going into detail.
Yeah, my kids brought their own intake to the table.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then we just talked about different animal lifestyles and the way of, my students talked about, like, how, in order to make this relevant for them, we talked about how we all have different lifestyles, how I grew up living across the road from my grandparents, and we all did everything together, and then my one student was like, well, I live with my grandparents, and then we were like, well, how do you think this interacts with animals? And so they were just saying how some babies don't live with their parents long, and so they were able to make those connections about animal lifestyles.
Well, yeah, we did like connecting it to real life situations, obviously, and we wanted to cover human traits because I mean, science is the study of, like, human culture, so we really wanted to connect that, and I think they did a good job on doing that.
Yeah. So when talking about these, like, doing this interview and talking about the chameleon, the porcupine, and then we went up into wolves and why they live in packs, and
fish and why they live in schools.
Yeah.
And ants and colonies.
So we covered some ground on different lifestyles, different traits that are beneficial for animals and their survival. So when we got into this, there were some misconceptions. Some of the students, I mean, we only interviewed four, but there was a misconception in the fact that, like, why wolves live in packs or why animal lives in groups. They think there was some thought that maybe it was just to not leave anyone behind.
Kind of they thought that the older or the elders, or the parents or whatever, they wanted to keep track of their offspring, keep track of their babies, their siblings, making sure that no one was left behind, which is valid.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think that was good for us to get insight on, like, where their thinking was.
Yeah. So, I mean, very close to,
when thinking about where their misconceptions come from, I mean, we're always taught, like, don't leave your family behind.
Right.
And I feel like that's a typical American culture.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they would get that from, like, Disney movies too.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
I know that everyone has a different lifestyle, background, but I think that that's a common, and we can see that maybe that's where that misconception came from.
Yeah, definitely. The students had a good understanding that these traits are there to protect animals, but they didn't really understand how they came to be a trait or a part of their lifestyle. So the adaptations was probably the most common misconception that we've seen across both of our two students.
Yeah, so mainly my students were able to tell me that a chameleon can be camouflaged to protect them so that predators can't see them. But that was the only thing they had really discussed. And
right.
I feel like for further instruction, which we'll talk about later, but, like, letting students know that this was adapted and that there's more to it.
Right. Regardless of the misconceptions, students were able to answer most of the questions correctly, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
They understood that a lot of these traits were implemented for protection. So now we're going to go into student responses, what exactly they did answer, and just going a little deeper into that.
So as we looked at their answers and kind of had the conversation, we were able to see that though the students are very diverse, when it came down to it, their answers were very similar. They explained things differently, they had different reasonings, but we were able to look at the skunks, for example, and why they spray the unpleasant odor. We just pretty much said, show them a picture of a skunk and was like, so what do you think is a special characteristic about the skunk? And they were able to say, well, they smell really bad or they spray. And we think we answer this way because, I mean, it's commonly that either you've heard a story about a smelly skunk, you've passed one on the road or something. Mm-hmm. It's something that these students have all interacted with. And I think that this is something that students were able to know. So I think they answered that way just because it was something that they've learned at some point in their life. Like they knew about it.
Yeah.
Just by seeing the picture of a skunk.
Right. They knew that they sprayed the unpleasant odor to protect themselves. And one of my students actually said they do it whenever they feel threatened to let off warnings to warn the predators not to mess with them, which is a great answer.
Yeah. So when showing the students the devil's claw, a few of my students...
Otherwise known as proboscidea.
Is that how you say it?
I think that's how you say it.
Proboscidea?
What do you guys think?
We're going with proboscidea today. I'm just going to call it the devil's claw. But when the students got to this, I showed them a picture of it, and they were like, what is that? Like, really confused. And so I was like, it's a plant. And
definitely we're not familiar with the plant.
Yeah.
But that's why we wanted to ask about this. And also, I think this question relates more to, you know, like dispersion. That was a bit more of an advanced topic.
Yeah, I kind of took what the students knew about animal traits and how they're adapted in order for survival of lifestyle, that even goes into plants. And so once we introduced and looked at the plant a little bit further, different pictures, the students, I was like, well, how do you think this is beneficial for the
Proboscidea.
Proboscidea. I wanted to use that word to sound smart. And the students were able to say, like, so no one's eating their seeds or, I'm trying to think here.
My student said, so if you guys are not familiar with this plant, it has a long, crooked seed pod, kind of like a hook or a claw, as it's called, the devil's claw. And when we showed the students this picture, at least my girl student said it was to protect itself against other big animals with sharp teeth, which is, a smart observation. Sure.
Yeah. It's not like a plant's gonna, I think this could be like a possible partial truth.
Right.
As any animal could eat a flower, it's mm-hmm. not, or a plant, it's not going to attack you back.
Right.
But this one will maybe keep you away. It's kind of like going after a rose. If you pick a rose, you might stab your
finger. Sure. So she probably connected that to this, which was smart.
Because many students see predators as these big, vicious animals.
Mm-hmm. My boy student said it was probably to save water. So, which is fine.
He thinks because of the shape of it, he thinks it would hold, like a cup, kind of.
Mm-hmm. I think so, which is a smart observation, sure.
Like a little teacup.
I think they did well on guessing and using their background knowledge to try and answer this question the best they could.
So overall, we were highly impressed by our students' knowledge and kind of what they brought to the table for us to open our eyes to see where third graders were at within this knowledge.
I feel like concept,
the students were really knowledgeable when it came to wolves and knowing that they hunt together mm-hmm. and that it helps keep them, like, protected from other animals, so they're able to get, like, larger prey together.
Yeah.
And then
yes, good. One of my students said that ants travel in colonies to lift heavy things.
Yeah.
Which is so accurate.
My one student knew that the ant can carry double the weight of mm-hmm. itself. And that when there's more ants together, she said that one time she saw, like, a pile of ants just walking together, and it looked like a big clump.
Smart.
So, like, they were very knowledgeable about...
They mastered that aspect, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
We won't talk more about that, but... So anyways, what we can take from this and put forth towards our implications for instruction is being a part of a group can have the effect of an animal obtaining food, defending themselves against predators, and coping with change supports that claim that being a member of a group helps animals survive. So
I feel like they partially grasp this in some animals, definitely the wolves. But I think further instruction could be beneficial just for maybe our lower level students, and reiterating this and going over that there's many more groups of animals that do this. I feel like wolves are most common for students understanding that they live together, but only one of our students really understood, or two of our students really understood the impact of ants, and the other two were just honestly not very knowledgeable. And that's, I mean, obviously fine, because everyone has their different backgrounds, and that's why we should implement this, to know that, and even when it comes to, like, fish, that they're able to work together to be able to survive in this huge ocean.
Right.
So this is something that we could definitely, for future instruction, kind of do an investigation, in order to see how they can defend themselves and cope to different changes.
Lastly, we could implement instruction that focuses on the advantages that these animals get because of the traits that they've adapted into their specific environments. We really want to emphasize on that to show students that even though these characteristics might not have the same face, they vary in, you know, physical appearance, but they all have the same purpose, and we really want students to comprehend that aspect of this.
So now we're going to add a few of the snippets that we took from our interviews, just so you can actually hear the students thinking, because I think in the pauses that you hear in their expressions, it really adds to the knowledge that these students have. And this recording of what we got from the students really helped us out in knowing how to implement this further instruction.
So if someone tries to catch him or kill them, they can go in camouflage.
Why do ants live in colonies?
To know they're all safe.
Hundreds or even thousands of fish. What is the purpose of this lifestyle?
So a whole classroom, it's like that, but they're in like a whole group and they stay together. That's what we do, but
right.
Sometimes we go to the bathroom and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Proboscidian.
Probably to save water.
We would like to thank you guys so much for listening to our show today. I mean, hashtag science, go cards.
Go cards. Tune in next week to hear about
something cool about science.
Something cool.
That I'm sure our dope professor, Dr. McFadden, will teach us about.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.